Barlow was a reformed buzzer turned rampsman, a pickpocket who had degenerated to plain mugging, whom Pierce had hired some years ago as a buck cabbie. All rampsmen were thugs at heart, and that was precisely what a cracksman like Pierce wanted for a buck cabbie, a man holding the reins to the cab, ready to make the getaway, or ready for a bit of a shindy if it came to that. And Barlow was loyal. He had worked for Pierce for nearly 5 years now. Barlow frowned and said,
"If it can be done, he'll do it. Clean Willie can do it, if it can be done."
He spoke slowly and gave the impression of a man who formed his thoughts with slowness. Pierce knew he could be quick in action, however. Pierce looked at the women. They were the mistresses of Edgar and Barlow, which meant they were also their accomplices. He did not know their names, and he did not want to know. He regretted the very idea that they must be present at this occasion. In 5 years he had never seen Barlow's woman, but there was no way to avoid it. Barlow's woman was an obvious soak. You could smell the gin breath across the room. Edgar's woman was little better, but at least she was sober.
"Did you bring the trimmings?" Pierce asked.
Edgar's woman opened a picnic basket. In it he saw a sponge, medicinal powders and bandages. There was also a carefully folded dress.
"All I was told, sir."
"The dress is small."
"Aye, sir. Barely more than a child's frock, sir."
"Well enough," Pierce said, and turned back to look at the square once more. He paid no attention to the gallows or the swelling crowd. Instead, he stared at the walls of Newgate Prison.
"Here's a supper, sir," said Barlow's woman.
Pierce looked back at the supplies of cold fowl, jars of pickled onion, lobster claws, and a packet of dark cigars.
"Very good, very good," he said.
Edgar said,
"Are you playing the noble, sir?"
This was a reference to a well-known magsman's con. It was said sarcastically, and Edgar later testified that Pierce didn't care for the comment. He turned back with his long coat open at the waist to reveal a revolver jammed into the waistband of his trousers.
"If any of you steps aside," he said, "you'll have a barker up your nose, and I'll see you in lavender."
He smiled thinly.
"There are worse things, you know, than transportation to Australia."
"No offence," Edgar said, looking at the gun. "No offence at all. No offence. It was only in the manner of a joke."
Barlow said, "Why'd we need a snakesman?"
Pierce was not sidetracked.
"Bear my words carefully," he said. "Any of you steps aside, and you'll stop a shot before you can say Jack Robin. I mean every word."
He sat down at the table.
"Now then," he said, "I'll have a leg of that chicken, and we shall disport ourselves as best we can while we wait."